Hi, like you said, my troop is from Foresight Management. We're an energy and sustainability firm that helps organizations make progress on their energy and sustainability journey. I'm an engineer by education, and I'm also maybe the only person crazy enough to come up here without any slides or any notes. So I'm just going to go for it here. So I want to talk to you about something really exciting that's happening in the supply chain around sustainability today. But before we jump into what that is, we need to do some level setting on sustainability. Everyone has varying levels of literacy when it comes to sustainability. And so I'm going to focus on carbon. I certainly understand there's a lot more to sustainability than carbon, but we only have 7 minutes here. So what I want to talk about is greenhouse gas emissions, carbon emissions. There's three types, scope one, scope two, and scope three. We need to understand this to get into the back half of the presentation. So for simplicity's sake, scope one and two greenhouse gas emissions are your organization's direct emissions. What I mean by direct emissions is all of the electricity, natural gas, gasoline, diesel, things that you burn and emit carbon into the atmosphere that you are directly controlling. And a lot of organizations have made good progress around their scope one and two greenhouse gas emissions, which brings us into the third category, which is scope three greenhouse gas emissions. Those are your indirect emissions. So those are not the things you directly account for, but a big one is supply chain, which we'll talk about, but also things like logistics. You have to move your goods from your facility to another facility or retailer. Things like the business travel that your organization does. Even the use of the prop. So if you have a car, all of the driving is greenhouse gas emissions. And then finally, what happens at the end of life of your product? So those are all these crazy scope three emissions. And so what I want to get to is, so many companies have made progress on their scope one and two emissions, but scope three is a major issue. And the reason why is because there's a number of organizations that have done research on this, and they found that if you, let's pretend you're an OEM, and our friends at Steelcase are actually presenting next, and you're a furniture manufacturer, Steelcase. For every ton of greenhouse gases you emit in scope one and two, your supply chain emits 10. So it's 10x more. So what that means, if Steelcase were to magically go carbon neutral overnight, that would only be a 10% reduction in the total emissions across the entire supply chain. So this is a major problem. And this is where I want to talk about an exciting solution that we're starting to see in the marketplace. And that is life cycle assessments, or LCAs. So LCAs, it's a model in your computer. It's not quite a digital twin, but you can put a bunch of inputs in and you can actually model out, like it sounds, the entire life cycle of emissions of a product. And so I have my cup here and I figured this would be a good example to do this live on what all you would model as we help our clients model out a life cycle assessment. So you start with, this is made of stainless steel. So you have to mine the steel out of the ground, and then you need things like nickel and carbon and other stuff. And all that shows up as steel mill. And they have to melt it and put it all together, and then they have to roll it into sheets. Then it gets transported from that factory to the Yeti factory. And the Yeti folks take the sheets of stainless steel, and they bend them into a cup, and they put a lid on it and all the other things. And you're accounting for all the carbon as we're going through this whole time. Then Yeti has to put it in a package. They have to ship it to a retailer. A retailer has to use it. There's carbon through all this whole time. And then we get into the use phase. Thankfully, there's no greenhouse gas emissions associated with this cup, right? It's not emitting anything. Our friends at Microsoft are also coming up next. They would have to account for the fact that maybe an Xbox or a Surface uses electricity throughout the entire useful life. And so you model that in your system as well. And then we finally make it to the end, where you look at this and you say, at some point, this cup will reach the end of its useful life. What happens to it then? Do you throw it in the garbage? Can you recycle it? Does it get burned? Obviously, there's a high value in metal, so certainly there's a high likelihood that it gets recycled, but you have to factor all of this in. And when you do that, you get a whole model that exposes exactly what the total life cycle emissions of this cup is. And the power of this is you now can understand where the hotspots are in your product. Where are the majority of the emissions happening within your product? And so what we're seeing is an unbelievable amount of innovation with being able to understand it. And I'm gonna give you guys a few fun examples that we've seen. A lot of this revolves around the automotive industry. Automotive industry, and we had a great presentation from Yang Feng about this, but there's a huge amount of innovation around how do we make cars have a lower carbon impact. One of the first examples of where companies are using LCAs on the automotive side is, rightfully so, a lot of companies said, a lot of people said, hey, this electric vehicle, this battery electric vehicle actually emits more carbon to manufacturers than a combustion engine vehicle. That's actually true. It does emit more carbon. Think about that battery. That's a lot of material you have to manufacture. Cool. But if you look at it from the life cycle standpoint, the amount of savings you get at an electric vehicle and the fact that they're significantly more efficient than a combustion engine vehicle more than makes up for the fact that you have a higher footprint on the front end. And again, this is the value of looking at the whole life cycle. And there's all kinds of cool comparisons you can make just to, if you guys want to come talk to me at happy hour and just to prove how much of a sustainability nerd I am. My wife and I have two toddlers and we have a third on the way. I know we're a little crazy, but the first thing I did when I found out we were pregnant was look up, is there a life cycle assessment on the difference between disposable diapers and cloth diapers? And I do not have time to tell you, we'll get to it. But anyway, there's all these innovations of doing comparisons, but there's also, and this is kind of where I just want to start wrapping up, there's also an incredible amount of innovation around lightweight. And that's a big phenomenon in automotive, but this is happening across all kinds of different products, which is they figured out a huge amount of embedded carbon in a vehicle is in the materials. And then there's a huge amount of emissions associated with a vehicle driving, like I talked about. And so if you can lightweight your vehicle, you have fewer emissions on the manufacturing side, and you have fewer emissions on the actual use phase of the vehicle. This what's really fascinating is people are modeling this out. They can actually figure out what kind of materials do we need to optimize for so that we can make the most efficient car possible. And again, I just gave you one example, but this is happening across all kinds of industries. And this is where I want to wrap up, which is basically, this is the power of data. You cannot manage what you don't measure. And so having the visibility to understand where the emissions are in your product empowers the, you know, companies like our host here at Twistthink to innovate on products so that we can generate the next generation of sustainable products. Thanks.